Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
That's right, Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, sponsoring the national anthem at noon every day right here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Back again. We'll do it this way, Mike. We'll call it the Mad Dog and Mike, since we don't know, you know, how litigious.
True, Mike and the Mad Dog might have a patent on it, Those two guys got divorced. They wound up not getting along. That's never going to happen with you and I, Phil. I just want you to know that. Not at all. 10 years from now, ITG, the Chief Sports Network, will still be rolling and bigger and better than ever. And the camaraderie and the overall fellowship will be at an all-time high. I will go on record and say that right now.
Yes, for sure. For sure. I concur. That's exactly how this is going to pan out. I got married 21 years ago almost. And we're in it. You know, it's life or longer at this point.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Who can afford a divorce these days? Come on. Nobody wants to go through
in this economy.
In this economy. Speaking of which, I got to say, and then we'll get to the Love Chevy driver on the SEC. And then because we're a two-man band the rest of the way, I'll do something that I haven't done, which is read and respond and react to a number of you folks on chat row. So keep the questions, comments coming, and Phil will highlight some of those, and we'll go over that later on this hour. I got to ask you, did you see any of the Tom Brady roast last night?
No, I did not. I know it dropped, and I was tied up with family stuff. We went visiting my dad, so it's like I'm watching it tonight. I got it teed up, ready to go.
let me just tell you, okay? So little bit about me. I love stand-up comedy. Love it.
Right.
Okay? I came a generation too late because the boom of comedy clubs was in the 80s. Well, I was a kid. Like, I couldn't get into a comedy club back in 86. And then they got destroyed, right? I remember Columbia had one there right off the highway by Stony Creek Apartments, which I spent a couple of years in before – my downstairs neighbor committed suicide. My across the neighbor got murdered at the Hilltop restaurant, and they set his apartment on fire while I was sleeping. That was when it was time for me to get a house. But I don't even know, does Columbia have a comedy club? Does Greenville have a comedy club? Mad Dog.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Columbia. Greenville does have one. Now, you at the same one. Time, yeah, they had, there was one that died, I think, in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And then there is one downtown right on Main Street.
Okay, good, good.
A little smaller one, yeah, but there is a comedy venue.
Okay, so yeah. One, I'm sure we'll have to ask Jamie this tomorrow. Charleston, I would think, would have one. Plus, Charleston gets a lot of visitors. I would have to think they have one. But, like, even Atlanta, a top 10 city in population, has one. And it is now they moved the famous Punchline Comedy Club into the back of a diner, the Landmark Diner. So that's a club that used to get everybody from Jay Leno to Bill Cosby to Robin Williams. And now it's like I still go from time to time, and the comedian's like, so this is what my career has come to. I'm now telling jokes in the back of a diner. This is so, I mean, comedy clubs took a hit. I think stand-up comedy, though, is coming back. And a lot of it, though, is not in the clubs. And of course, we're in this, right. As Seinfeld's talking about, you got to cancel everything. That if I'm offended by anything, then I've got to make sure it's banned from my sensitive ears. Thankfully, the Dave Chappelle's of the world have said, no, if you're too offended, don't watch, don't listen. Not my problem. And Netflix has basically said, yeah, you can come here. We're your oasis, immune to all of that. So I have been watching stand-up comedy. I love it. And I've been watching roast comedy since it started on Comedy Central. And if you've never watched this before.
I love the roast. Yes.
They're fantastic, right? I'm sure a lot of people are going to tune this in because it's Tom Brady on Netflix, because it was on live last night. I forgot about it. I just stumbled upon it. And honestly, I thought it might be pretty lame because Tom Brady's not funny, and I didn't know who the dais was going to be. All roasts are going to have some cringe moments. This thing was cringe from the opening tip to the buzzer. It was, oh my God. And I give Brady credit, man. He stayed in the pocket, took hit after hit. And I mean, nothing was off limits, including the divorce, including plastic surgery, including the relationship with Belichick. I mean, it was all out there. And you got, what's his name, emceeing it, Kevin Hart, who I thought did a good job. I mean, Kevin Hart, there's a skill in operating that. And again, you're doing it live. Thought he was really good, and I was laughing my sides off last night watching it. So if you like a good roast, you can watch that on Netflix. It was phenomenal, but it was, man, oh man, was it cringeworthy. And again, for those of you listening that do have sensitive ears, do not watch it. Mike is telling you, just stay away. There's plenty of good things on the Disney Channel, what have you. But yeah, it was raunchy. I was like, oh, wow, did they go for it? Everybody out there, man, they were not holding back nothing.
I could only imagine. Yeah, because, you know, there's plenty to dig on with Brady, right?
Yes.
plenty.
Well, and then, you know, the people that go up to the podium, they also go after the other people on the stage. So they're going after everybody from Randy Moss to Julian Edelman to the non-athletes on the other side, you know, to Jeffrey Ross, who's always like the guy that's the ringleader. To some other comedian, who's the woman, the blonde woman? She's got it. Greg Giraldo used to be my favorite. Greg Giraldo, if you watch a YouTube clip of the best, that dude was unbelievable. Then unfortunately he passed away, but he got it. And she's kind of like the female Greg Giraldo. She got after it. It was, and if you hate Tom Brady, you'll love this, because you want to talk about 2 to 3 hours of humble pie. Nikki Glaser. Thank you, Sir James. It was Nikki Glaser. And yeah,
okay.
She knocked it out of the park. Just one good thing after another. I digress. I know we're not here to talk about stand-up comedy, but because it was Tom Brady, it was trending everywhere. And I'm like, oh, I got to see this. And I tune in, and I mean, I'm keeping my wife up because she's trying to sleep, and I'm just laughing out loud, not a whole lot on TV does that to me these days, but that one did. All right. Let's gas her up. Let's get in the,
crank up the old Silverado here.
Crank up the Silverado, and let's get ready for the Love Chevy drive around the SEC.
It's now time to take a drive around the SEC. brought to you by Love Chevy. Act now for Springtacular Savings on the best selection of new Chevys. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
It is time for the Love Chevy Drive Around the SCC. We love to love here on ITG. We love to love Love Chevy. We love Ben Hoover, the executive manager over there in Harbison at Love Chevy, where you got the $1,000 low price guarantee. Buy your next Chevy with confidence from the folks that make car buying fun and affordable. That is Love Chevy. All right, we were just talking baseball with Whittle, so let's stay on that page, shall we? The new poll is out, D1 Baseball. Tennessee, the new number one for the first time this year. They knocked off the Florida Gators 2 out of 3. Part of that was a doubleheader because of weather. Tennessee is now 39-9. Again, they've only lost one midweek game. So they are the new number one, that's really the hottest team in the Southeastern Conference right now. Number three. Yeah,
just in time for us to come in there in 2 weeks.
Yeah, really. I know. It's so much of everything in life is timing, right, Phil? I mean, you would have preferred to play them in March or early April. Take care of business at home against Georgia and stay above water on the road at a hostile Lindsey Nelson Stadium, which used to be maybe the worst environment when I was doing games before Missouri came in. I mean, there was just no buzz at all. After 2005, Tennessee went into like a 15-year cycle of mediocre to bad baseball, several coaching changes. But Vitello has completely changed that, and they're really good once again in Knoxville. So they are the new number one. A&M is number three. Number four is Kentucky. That series win over the Wildcats for Carolina looks even better because they legitimize things by winning a series against Arkansas. So what happens? Kentucky goes ahead of Arkansas. The Wildcats are 4. The Razorbacks are 5. Arkansas's pitching is without question top to bottom the best in the country, but their lineup leaves a little bit to be desired. That would be the concern there. Carolina continuing to rise in the polls. 9 spots last week. How about 2 more this week? The Gamecocks up to number 13 after winning a series on the road at Mizzou. Mississippi State is 14 and Carolina's opponent this weekend. Georgia, the Dogs are 15. How about this? Alabama drops out. They got swept by Georgia. I mentioned those numbers now on the best player in college baseball, Charlie Condon, who plays for Georgia. 459, 33 homers, 69 runs batted in. But Vanderbilt goes from 17. I'm sorry, Vandy was swept by Georgia. Alabama dropped out, but Vandy was swept by Georgia, and they go from 17 to out of the polls. That is punitive, folks. So the SEC tournament as it stands today, Kentucky would be the one seed. They're 18-6. Arkansas and Tennessee would follow at 17-7. Arkansas would currently win the tiebreaker. A&M 4, Mississippi State 5, and as I mentioned, Carolina 6 at 13-11, just ahead of Georgia. Obviously, there's still room to move upward or downward with 6 more conference games left to play. Have you watched any NBA playoffs, Phil?
I've been catching a little bit, just a game here or there. Yeah,
yeah. You know, it's. I'll be honest with you. I've ignored almost all of the first round, but there is a series going on in the second round that I think might be as good as you're going to see the rest of the year. It involves the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I'm watching Game One the other night, and I can't help but notice, like, oh, okay. I called his game. I called his game. I called his game. I called his game. No less than 7 SEC alums are playing in that series. Anthony Edwards of Georgia, Carl Anthony Towns of Kentucky, Kentavious Caldwell Pope of Georgia, Naz Reid of LSU, Michael Porter of Missouri, Jamal Murray of Kentucky, and DeAndre Jordan of A&M. So it's not just a bunch of Kentucky guys. A number of SEC players, roll call right in that series. Thought that was kind of interesting. As I've mentioned a number of times during the season, it's the SEC over the last Take your pick, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. It's had more NBA draft picks than any other conference, including the prestigious ACC. Moving to football, Kirby Smart just got G'd up. Over $13 million a year, Phil. That's the going rate now when you're on top of the world. Honestly, somebody asked me about this on another show. Like, what do you think about that number? And I don't know what they were expecting me to say. Well, that's insane. How do you pay? My comment was they could have been $23 million and Georgia would have paid it because it's worth it. Because you have to do it.
Every penny.
Saban is gone now. Dabo's stock has dipped. What coach would you rather have? And what program is on top of the world? It's Georgia. It's Kirby. Oh, by the way, I mean, Kirby's a pretty young dude, right? So it's like, yeah, Kirby's not even 50 yet.
No.
So you've got a guy that pretty much you can put on autopilot. He's going to bring in one of the top recruiting classes every year, get whatever you need to in the portal. He's going to assemble one of the best coaching staffs every year. And it's Georgia. I mean, they have all these advantages geographically and now historically, and they've got the momentum and no more Nick Saban on the other side. No knock on Kalen DeBoer, but when the GOAT is gone, that doesn't hurt. But Kirby Smart now at over $13 million a year. That surpasses Dabo, and it would have surpassed Nick Saban if he was still around. They were making around 10, 11. The SEC has eight coaches making $9 million or more because Eli got a bump. He's scheduled to make over $9 million over the next few years. So over half the league, and I'm not even including, I'm sure if I looked it up, what Texas is paying is over $9 million. Yeah, Sark has got to be making over that. Venables might be less than that, but let's just say Sark is making nine. So if you included the newbies, Texas and Oklahoma, that would be nine of the 16 coaches are making $9 million plus. Now, these are last year's numbers. Brian Kelly is at 9.9. Mark Stoops is at nine. Heupel is at nine. Kiffin is at nine. I mentioned Eli getting bumped up. Billy Napier is at 7.2. Hugh Freeze at 6.5, and then you've got, you know, Shane Beamer and those guys making around six, and then at the bottom is Clark Lee. We don't know exactly what he makes because it's a private institution. You always have to do a little guesswork on that. And then Mississippi State does not have a $6 million plus coach. Yeah, Charles says Sark is making 10.3. Let me tell you something. If Texas winds up...
Yeah, I was going to say,
10.3.
I just found it. Yeah,
if they wind
Venables,
up
7.1. Sorry, not to interrupt, but
yeah, 7.1. No. I asked for it. I'm glad you brought it. If Sark wins the title, what do you think the number will be? There's not a Briggs truck big enough for what Texas will pay a national championship coach.
I can only imagine what the incentive is. Like, yeah, he'll probably make, you know, $2 million just in incentives for being it. Cause you got to assume at that point he's won in his first year in the SEC and won the conference and then gone on to, you know, get the bye and just kill it. Yeah. But then after that, it's, you know, does Kirby have that little, you know, unwritten thing in his contract like Saban that said, well, if anybody ever adjusts to above me, just, you know, tack on another point over them and then let's go. But
yeah, at that point, man, it becomes like an auctioneer. Do I hear 14? Yeah, do I hear 15? Exactly. Do I hear 17? Do I hear 20? Like that, we're going to have a $20 million coach in college football in the next few years. I'm convinced of it. Like,
I'd be shocked with all the TV money being poured into the schools, especially for the Big Ten and SEC. Yeah, somebody's going to hit it.
We are headed that way for sure. So these are rough estimates, but the SEC is number one now in average salary per coach at over $8 million. The Big Ten is second at over $7 million. The ACC at around $5 million. The Big 12 at around $5 million. And of course, the Pac is down to two schools, so it doesn't really matter a whole lot in that case, does it? I thought this was kind of interesting. This is going to be, we went over on JC and Morgan, the list of the starting quarterbacks projected for the SEC and the ACC. I can't remember a time where there's basically no quarterback battles going on in the SEC. Like, you go 1 through 16, I don't think there's really much controversy at all. And part of that is with the portal now, you can get a proven commodity, Phil. You don't have to just say, okay, we're going to have two freshmen battle it out because we just lost our guy. You can get a proven commodity, and he's automatically penciled in as the new starter.
Yeah, so you got to think with all the QBs that have moved, they've either gone in with the understanding that they are air quotes competing for a job, but more than likely will be on the bench,
right.
Or, you know, are the, you know, we brought them in to start. Florida, I think probably they're the only one that has a competition. And is that solely, you know, being driven by the fans wanting the freshmen over,
driven by the fans.
Over the, I mean, less than impressive Mertz?
Well, but that's the thing. Like, Mertz actually, especially considering what he was working with, I mean, right. he was almost a comp to Spencer Rattler in terms of, it wasn't all his fault. Like, Rattler would have had much better numbers if he had an offensive line, if he had more than one wide receiving target. Well, that's kind of what Florida was last year with Mertz. Mertz, I think, is going to be the guy. And then Lagway, they're going to have to find ways to use him. But I don't think Lagway is going to get the job. That's not what I've been hearing there. And all the other quarterback situations, I'm just not hearing of any really threat to the guys in play. So if it is those 14 or 16 guys, well, what do you have? You've got five returning starters in the SEC that led their teams to either a New Year's Six bowl game or a playoff berth last year. Beck, Milrow, Ewers, Dart, and Cook. Not bad. Beck and Ewers are the preseason Heisman favorites, while nine SEC quarterbacks are in the top 19 of the preseason odds for the Heisman via DraftKings. Think about that. Nine of the top 19 Heisman Trophy candidates are quarterbacks from the Southeastern Conference. That's pretty strong. I'll leave you with one scheduling note. It won't be long before we start talking about schedules, right? This is from Pat Dooley, who works, covers Florida football, but really covers it on a national basis at this point in his career. He just highlighted 12 games that will decide the SEC race in 2024. Georgia at Bama on September 28th. That might be the only game that, depending on how the first 3 weeks go, Georgia could possibly, maybe, kind of, sort of be an underdog by like a point. I'm not saying that will be the case, but the possibility is there compared, depending on how good Milrow and Alabama look in the first few weeks. Oklahoma, Texas, October the 12th, the Red River. Try to take two. Red River rivalry. Well, I was sitting there, I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, can I call it a shootout? It's always going to be the Red River shootout to me. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Just like,
yeah.
It's in Jacksonville, it's the largest outdoor cocktail party. You can, but they want to call it the Red River rivalry, which, in addition to being hard to say, is not really the true nickname of that game. But that'll be a fun one to watch. SEC fans will get indoctrinated on just how big that game is. Alabama at Tennessee, that's October the 19th. LSU at Florida, November the 16th. LSU has completely run that rivalry in recent years. Oh, Georgia, yeah, at Texas, October 19th. Missouri at Alabama. I mean, we got to start talking about Missouri in big games. Missouri at Alabama, October the 26th. Georgia at Kentucky, September the 16th. Ole Miss at LSU, October the 12th. That's juicy. And Alabama at LSU, that's always juicy. That'll be on November the 9th. Just some games to look forward to in the fall on the gridiron in the Southeastern Conference. And that will do it for the award-winning, Emmy-nominated, Love Chevy, drive around the SEC. Maestro, take it away, sir.
Brought to you by Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
I gave you a lot of fun there, Phil.
Interesting drive around there, Mike. Yeah, I was like, we all are, you know, everybody chomping at the bit to get to football season, right? So any little bit of, you know, nuggets, even just looking at, an analytical thing like this many coaches make this much money this year is, you know, intriguing, right? Just to see where everybody stacks up. I mean, it is, it dominates the national conversation. No surprise, though, that in Dooley's little list of pivotal SEC games, South Carolina does not make an appearance. However, I think there is a strong case to be made for South Carolina being in more of a spoiler position this year than, say, somebody who's going to just jump up and you know, really dominate things. I think there's a lot of toss-up games on South Carolina's schedule against teams that you wouldn't traditionally think so, like LSU being the one I kind of have circled. Because I feel like we don't really know what LSU's got right now, other than a completely and totally new defensive staff, which I agree was an excellent move for them to make in the offseason. But, I mean, they've lost, my goodness, plenty of talent on the other side of the ball. And if you're not going to be as effective scoring as you have been or were last year specifically and have a question mark on defense, and if it takes these guys to a season or two to get up to speed, then, you know, LSU could be staring down maybe three or four conference losses during this one season while things get pulled together. And Carolina is in a good position hosting them at home to be one of those teams to throw them an L.
Well, I mean, they have something that's unique, and that they had a quarterback who sat on the bench and didn't hit the portal. Garrett Nussmeier could have started for about 100 Division I schools over the last couple of years. I've seen a little bit of them. I've talked to coaches about him. It's never been a matter of, like, he's just not ready, or he's lacking this, or he's lacking that. He just happened to have a Heisman Trophy winner and first-round draft pick in front of him. Ordinarily, 9 times out of 10, what that means is I'm in the portal. I'm gone. I'm not sitting on the bench for 2-3 years, which is what he did. But the people that are high on LSU are banking on the fact that this is not your typical first-year starter. This is a guy that has already gotten quality reps. He's been in the system for a while. You know, JC talks about this all the time. Lenore Sellers shouldn't be talked about like a true freshman. He's a redshirt freshman. There is a big difference. So even though he hasn't thrown a ton of passes, he's been in the system for a couple of years, and that's true. It's even more true of Garrett Nussmeier. He should be ready, and the defense, which was woeful, undisciplined, toxic in some cases, has to be better than it was a year ago. And LSU's always got athletes. I mean, they just, you know, rinse, wash, repeat wide receivers that are like first-round caliber. I still think the Kentucky game, that is a huge game for both those programs. It doesn't make that list because nobody's thinking that Kentucky or South Carolina is going to be in the hunt to win an SEC championship this year. But for those two programs and the trajectory of the season, you can't overestimate how big that game is, Phil.
No. Being as early as it is in the season, that's the one you got to have circled. I mean, I think from a rivalry or, you know, a program standpoint, Missouri is one that you circle, but it comes later in the season. So Kentucky being week two,
right off the bat, man.
I mean, you're right into it, and in a way, conference game, right? Because that's in Lexington this year. So
it's in Lexington. It's a tone setter for both programs. Remember now, fans have a very good memory of Mark Stoops flirting with Texas A&M. If Carolina goes in there and gets up on them, it'll be your typical angst, and it might even be a little of, "Hey, I've had it, I'm done." Like that's just the way fans are these days. They just start checking out. Some of my in-laws, they're all Kentucky fans, and one of them, like every time we go to Thanksgiving or whatever, he's always like the negative Nelly. Stoops, he's boring offense. He will never get over the top. And of course, I'm always like, do you remember what you were before him? You weren't exactly a football power, but that's the kind of guy, like, that'll spread like wildfire. When you are having a little bit of a dip and you're flirting with another job, which clearly he was, that's when things can get ugly real quickly. That game is going to be so big, and the drama and the soap operas behind it. And we know how Carolina fans are going to react with a loss. I mean, that just, it is what it is. Coming off 5-7, you lose week two. There's going to be a lot of doom and gloom in the air. But if you win it and you're 2-0 and you show some signs and Sellers is clearly balling and using all those physical attributes that he has, that JC has been raving about for a while, well, now all of a sudden the negative train turns very, very positive at that moment. On the other side of this break, I do want to break down a little bit of my thoughts on Jamari Thomas, the point guard picked up by the Gamecocks in the portal over the weekend. And also, we'll get to some of your questions and comments on chat row. Phil will highlight some of those. Do want to mention State Farm agent Gary Patterson. It's so good to have somebody who's good on your side. And that's what State Farm Gary Patterson would love to do for you, to be on your side, to help you pick the right protection at the right price, to make sure you understand the coverages and you know what to expect if the unexpected happens, which, let's face it, it almost always does. With State Farm agent Gary Patterson, it's easy to make the right choice. Just give him a call. You can go to the website. You can get all the information right there. The number is on the screen for our fine YouTube viewers. The website is GaryPatterson.net. The phone number is also scrolling at the bottom at 803-438-5000, 803-438-5000. Tell them Mike sent you, proud sponsor of the Power Hour here on ITG. When we come back, we'll break into a little bit of that Gamecock basketball commit via the portal, as well as handle some of your questions and comments. It's Mad Dog Phil. It's me, Mike. It's Monday on ITG.
Charleston Fitness Equipment is keeping South Carolina in shape. Clients have come from all over the Palmetto State to find that one piece of equipment that they enjoy that keeps them looking and feeling good. Whether it's a home rower, treadmill, elliptical, free weights, a home gym, or something else, Charleston Fitness Equipment keeps the mirror smiling back at you. Get in shape like the Gamecocks do. Visit CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Gamecock owned and operated and proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location, or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia and go Gamecocks.
Cold Joe here, and when I'm not eating average jambalaya or celebrating endless summer in Destin, I like to eat pimento cheese straight out the bucket. Mmm. And the only pimento cheese I like to eat is from Nana's Porch. It's award-winning, it'll melt in your mouth, it's good on a cracker, it's good in a bowl, it's good on a piece of bread. Also, don't forget, Nana's Porch has a hell of a food truck. It's award-winning as well, and they're here for all of your catering needs. So get online, nanasports.com. It's good. Coach O signing off. Endless summer, go Tiger.
For chicken cock, we get a medium to medium plus toast. The char level, we use a number 3 level char. If you char too deep, you start burning away some of those flavor components that you just created. If you just char a barrel and you don't toast it, you're going to create some of those flavors just on a thin layer, just inside the char, but not the actual depth and full extent of flavors that you're going to get if you toast it properly. All those elements, that's exactly what they do. They boil down to great flavor.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you're in the real estate market in the Lowcountry or even in the Midlands, please contact me, JB, with Coast to Coast Realty SC. Go Gamecocks!
This break is presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, the state newspaper's 2023 winner for Best Catering, Best Barbecue, and Best Food Truck. Visit BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com for all of your catering needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say, and so does the Barn Dough Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company, Gamecock, owned and operated.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about, the heart issue that, ultimately why the Big Ten stopped, but originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of the heart issue, potentially with
is that myocarditis?
Myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
Back, everybody, live from the Sinorama Studios, and of course, served as always by Chicken Cock Bourbon, which I need to pick up another bottle of because I finished one off this weekend. It was delicious. While hanging around the house, getting a little work done. Nothing better than
what goes good with the bourbon, Phil. How about some wings?
Oh, I'm big fan. Big fan.
But head on up. We had somebody in chat row, which we'll get to momentarily, talk about that. They just had their first D's Wings experience. It goes with an age-long saying. You never forget your first. You never forget your first experience at D's Wings. Be gentle. Be respectful. And then enjoy a steaming hot plate. This would be a good day to break your D's Wings virginity. If you have such, and if so, man, have you been missing out? Because it's 75-cent wing day all day long, lunch and dinner. Now, they also have for lunch the blackened chicken wrap for $8.99, chicken, peppers, Swiss cheese, lettuce, tomato, Cajun ranch dip, served with your choice of side. But the wing special going on all day long on Mondays at D's. Don't forget Taco Tuesday will be tomorrow. Real quick. Phil, we touched on it with JC and Whittle in the first hour. By the way, we're only 2 hours today, and then we'll be back the full three tomorrow. It'll be JC and I and you, Phil, of course, the ever-steady rock of this program. Jamie will be out tomorrow. He'll be back with us Wednesday. He's got some things to take care of, but something to look forward to tomorrow. We'll also have another JC and Morgan Not sure if we're going to go guest tomorrow. We plan on having Vern Lundquist middle of the month. I chatted with Vern briefly the other day, and we've had a number of people who cover the sport, but Vern is finally retired and just enjoying the relaxation life. But called so many memorable games on CBS, including many memorable Gamecock games. Remember now when Carolina had its best run, Vern was the voice of CBS SEC football. And that was, of course, always the primary game. That's no longer going to be the case. That game will now be on ABC. Just some initial thoughts on Demaryius Thomas. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know much about him before the news came about. I knew they were looking at a number of different point guards, and the response that I always got was there was no panic there. They knew they were going to get one of these guys that they really liked, and Jamari Thomas obviously is one of those. Watched a fair amount of tape, about 30 minutes or so over the weekend. And yes, I've seen enough sizzle reels to know you can make a player look much better than he actually is sometimes with a highlight reel. But his productivity during his time in the MEAC speaks for itself. You know, when you're averaging 17 a game and 4 assists a game, you're the player of the year in the conference. You're all defense in the conference. That speaks for itself. He is, you know how I felt about Talon Cooper, Phil. I was team Talon from moment one last year. But he can do some things, quite honestly, that Talon Cooper could not. He's just a more explosive player. Talon Cooper was tall. He was a tall guard. Jamari Thomas is much more athletic, much more explosive. He is a guy that can take it to the hole and either finish or dish it out to a teammate for an assist. That really wasn't Talon Cooper's specialty. Talon did everything so well, and he was a coach on the floor, and it sounds like this young man, you know, he wants to be an alpha, which is what they need, especially if you're going to have a freshman starting in the backcourt with him at the two-guard spot in Scott. But explosive. The shot is a little bit quirky, kind of like leans forward on every shot. It's not the fastest release, but it's good enough, and he's athletic enough where he's going to get it off when he wants to. Doesn't have to rely on the three. He's what they now call a three-level scorer. You'll hear that term a lot. He can do that. He can take it to their hole. He's got a mid-range jumper, and he can hit threes. And again, he defends. And, you know, really, I don't know if they had an outstanding on-ball defender. Like, Talon Cooper was a good defensive player by the sheer fact that he was taller than almost every other point guard he faced, and he had length. Thomas is probably a guy that's going to get a few more steals. I'm not going to compare him to Devin Downey, but he has that type of aggressiveness on the defensive side, and lower to the ground, typically a lot of those guys are better at steals and whatnot. I just think it's a perfect piece to the puzzle. A mature guard who, again, explosive, seems to have the right attitude and the mentality that you want at that position, can score, but can also be a major facilitator. And you combine that with Scott and Davis and Murray Boyles and Pringle, just throwing out a possible starting five. Butler and Wright, you know, Ugasuk, who am I forgetting? The other freshman. Not the kid from
Noah.
Yeah.
Trent Noah. From Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's no reason to not expect another successful season from Gamecock basketball. Are they going to, you know, finish with one of the top records in the conference, which is going to be loaded again? I'm not going to say that. But I think they certainly can contend for back-to-back NCAA tournaments. Yeah, of course, Studi as well. I mean, Studi to me is always going to be kind of a role guy. When he's hitting threes, he's an asset. When he's not, you probably go to somebody else on the bench. But he provides valuable minutes, provides depth, and when he's on, he's certainly a major weapon. So, yeah, when I look at like 1 through 9 on that roster, I feel pretty good about it. I really do. And like I said before in the first hour, Gamecock fans have been unfortunately treated to blip and dip, right? Blip on the radar, really good season. Everybody gets excited, and then the recruiting falls off, and the following season is a major thud. And there's been too much of that. And what you need to see sustained success. And I think The way they're doing things over there now will provide that. Just my two cents.
Yeah, I like it. You look at the way this roster is currently constructed, and obviously there's room for changes. There's still time that it could look a little different than it does now. Hopefully not. You'd like to be settled at this point, but you know, yeah, even with some of these incoming, you know, the youth that are coming in here with Noah and Scott, and you're going to get some quality youthful bench minutes out of this team. Just as you saw with CMB kind of at the beginning of the season last year, as he was getting back from the illness. And, we're not going to know what to think about, you know, if this team makes two NCAA tournaments in a row. My goodness. How long has it been? Has it ever happened?
No, 97, 98.
Yeah, 97, 98.
And I was around for the tail end of that. And when that Richmond game came final, and you just knew with what they were they'd already lost Melvin, and then they were about they already lost Larry Davis, and they were about to lose Melvin and BJ and Stack. We need to get Ryan on the show some point. You just knew that they were about to, and Eddie didn't like recruiting. He just didn't, you know. And yeah, they got Rolando Howell, and they got some good players, but it was never the same, and they were never the same. And then you had Dave had the blip, and then should have gone back to the tournament, but didn't with the two NIT teams. They were talented enough to go to the tournament. Their problem was the month of February. You're right. The fan base will metaphorically wet themselves if you can go to back-to-back NCAA tournaments at a time when the league has never been better, right?
Right.
At a time when the league has never been better. So totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, it's
all right. Are we ready to do a little Gamecock graffiti?
Let's do it. Let's do it. Now, you got anybody how pulled up here?
I can go in ascending order. Jay Diz Vogler looked sick after that loss. Yeah. Both of the Coppin State one really was more inexcusable with an SEC championship team, but it happens. Look, we've seen number one seeds lose to 16 here of late. And unfortunately for Eddie, who I think is still a brilliant coach, but he just never recovered from that. And then, of course, he could have coached again if he really wanted to. He decided not to. He stayed in Columbia for years. His son was a great golfer. I think he's finally moved back to Chapel Hill. From Bill, Vern was the voice of the Dallas Cowboys for like 25 years. Yeah, the famous call of Jackie Smith, the tight end, dropping the pass in the end zone against the Steelers. My God, he must be the sickest man on the face of the earth. very memorable indeed. Quantrell, Mike with Kirby Smart getting another raise. Do you think coaching contracts will plateau at any point with the rise of players getting paid? Great question. And we're going to get Pete Thamel on JC and Morgan here soon. This thing is about to come to a resolution, and we are basically all these schools are about to have to shell out, if you believe the reports, in the neighborhood of $20 million a year in what they would call kind of revenue sharing. They're still not going to call them employees, and I still maintain that's because nobody wants to pay taxes.
That's right.
But nobody ever talks about that. I don't know why that's not discussed more. But here's the thing, Quantrell. When you've got a championship program, that cash register is going to keep ringing and ringing. So the top of the top will keep paying more and more. It's the middle that I'm curious about. Like I just mentioned that figure, right? Average SEC coach making, what was it, Phil? $8-9 million?
About a little over $8 million. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I don't know. If you're having to pay $20 million extra in player compensation, what gets cut? Well, I think Olympic sports get cut. Not women's basketball. Women's basketball, you can lose $8 million a year, and if you're winning championships, they're not going to stop paying it. But some other programs will. And the facility upgrades, they get slowed down. Like $20 million... I know you like to think like everybody is Elon Musk and you know, who's the guy for Amazon? Bezos.
Oh, Bezos, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's these schools do have a limit. We saw that during COVID. I mean, the concern over making ends meet was a real deal. Like, they literally, the SEC programs, people forget this, had to borrow money against what they would make in future earnings just to float. When the threat of having no TV money coming in for 1 year, all it takes is one season of no football TV money, and everybody's in the red, just yeah. about. So, yeah, I mean, I think that would be concerning, but I don't know, Quantrill. Something tells me if you're a winning program and the fans love you, enough people will find enough way to keep those salaries going up and escalating. I think it'll be fascinating to watch. Clint says, I won't be surprised if we beat Ole Miss.
Surprise? I don't know if I'd be surprised. But
where's that game again?
This is at home. If I remember correctly. Hold on, let me double check here.
I know LSU's sure a home game. Right. I know Kentucky's a road game. I'm not even thinking down the road to Ole Miss. For me, the focus is still like week two, Kentucky, and then start figuring out.
You got to get through Kentucky first.
Yeah. If you lose by 13 to Kentucky, no, I'm not going to feel confident beating Ole Miss and LSU and a lot of those other swing games. But if you look good against Kentucky and win that on the road against a team with their – I think Kentucky will look at it like their backs are kind of against the wall. Now, all of a sudden, the optimism becomes much greater.
You're looking at after Kentucky, you got a three-game homestand, LSU coming in, Akron, which if you don't beat the Zips, then nobody's going to show up to the Ole Miss game on October 5th.
Okay. So, you know, if you're thinking like Vegas, you're going to be an underdog in two of those three home games.
Two of the three home games, probably
not that it matters.
The first three conference games. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, look, if you play well enough, you can win. Again, just beat Kentucky. That's going to be huge. Big wash.
That's the big one.
Yeah. Florida should redshirt Lagway unless he's the clear-cut winner, because you can get the extra year with him and allow him to develop and get better usage out of him. Yeah, the day and age where you redshirted like five-star quarterback recruit, that's done. They all want their clock to get started. Well, technically the clock gets started anyway, but the school then – if you know you've only got 3 years to have any type of production out of them, you want to squeeze it out. And secondly, you could make the argument Billy Napier's future and maintaining his job could depend on Lagway showing any signs of being good this year. Because if they do what they're expected to do, which is around 6-6, he's probably fired anyway. But if you can eke out 7 wins and Lagway is like, oh man, this dude is just different, then maybe he's able to stay around. There's no way he's going to redshirt. It's a little bit different scenario than Lenora Sellers. In a number of different ways, who did redshirt, and I think that was the right move. And it's I think it'll pay off dividends this year. But in the case of Lagway, no, he's playing. He's absolutely playing. Charles, who was all over the coach's salaries, Sark is making 10.3. Venables is making 7.2. That goes back to our discussion on the newest salaries in the SEC, including Kirby making $13 million. Daddy O says, plus Kirby is still sporting the Mo Howard haircut. Help me out. Who's Mo Howard? Is that Three Stooges? That Mo
Howard? That's the Three Stooges Mo Howard. Yeah. That
okay.
Mo.
Mm-hmm. Of yep, Three yep. Stooges fame.
Kirby and the Mo Howard hair. Hey, if it's working. Seems to be working for him.
He can do whatever he wants with his hair right now in Athens. That dude can do no wrong. Going back to my conversation watching the Tom Brady roast last night. Michael says, Don Rickles, old school comedian, but was a champion roaster for sure. Don was amazing. Again,
yes,
we're not old enough to see Don in his prime, but even Don in like the 21st century would just go out and crush every time. Absolutely crush. Chad says his brother Craig, we got a 2-for-1 Godwin brother special today. Craig watched Seinfeld new movie last night. It was funny. I will definitely give it a shot. I'm a huge Seinfeld fan. For those that haven't noticed some of my references that I drop in from time to time. So, yeah. Jerry just turned 70, by the way. Can you believe that?
Wow. So yeah, I caught that over the weekend. I'm like, 70 years old. My goodness.
70 years old. Charles, this is all the way back at 1209. But I like to think that a Charles Gamble text and chat row ages like a fine wine. You can quote me on that, Charles. What college football stadium that you've never been to is at the top of your bucket list? Well, that's a great one. I've been to every SEC stadium several times. I've been to Texas, called a one game there on national radio, called two games at Oklahoma on national television. I've called a game at almost every ACC, every game at every Big 12. So for me, I've got to go north. I would love to do one game at Camp Randall, or for the heck with work. And then Fox owns the Big Ten anyway. Just let me be a fan. Just let me go to Camp Randall. That's on the bucket list.
Yeah. That would be fun. I've always wanted to head up to Wisconsin would be fun. Yeah, Camp Randall Stadium. I'd like to hit some of the bigger ones, big name ones around the SEC. And I think we're going to check this off the list is Bryant-Denny. I've never been to a game in Alabama at Tuscaloosa, so I think we're going to try to do that this year.
Okay.
I mean, the Big House is always one that I've, just feel like you should see one if you're a football fan at least once there, right?
I've
just
seen
experienced that.
I've seen empty, but I didn't actually get to go to a game there. So that's on my list too, actually. I would like to go to one Michigan-Ohio State game. Would love that.
Now that would be the one to see, right? Yeah. I would forfeit, I guess, the Big House trip to do it at the Horseshoe, but it would still be better to see it, I think, in Michigan than it would be down
there. Yeah. I'm with you. Oh, and Notre Dame. I've had offers to go see a good friend of mine from high school is a Notre Dame alum. He's invited me and I've just never been able to fit it in my schedule. I could go fly to Chicago. Meet up with JC, hit the road, not too far of a drive, catch a Notre Dame game. That would be cool. Ed, Gladiator, 24th anniversary in my top 10 movies of all time. It's a fiver for me. Probably
same
probably fiver. During those long Gamecock baseball bus rides was aired about 30 times, that and Happy Gilmore. and Major League 1, 2, and 3. But I was sleeping for some of those. But yeah, Gladiator's a classic. Russell Crowe, very underrated Russell Crowe performance. The movie The Insider, based on Big Tobacco. Just throw that out there. Greg, Mike, where does the term bandbox come from, B-A-N-D box? That's a good question. I'll be honest with you. I've used that term a number of times because it's one of those just expressions in baseball that's been – handed down over the years, and everybody knows what it means, right? It's basically like a home run friendly ballpark, a hitter's ballpark. Here we go. I'll do a quick Google. Well, Google just gives me the definition. A structure as a baseball park having relatively small interior dimensions. What is the origin of it? It started in the 1500s as a way to keep men and women's ruffled collars from getting squished. Okay, that does me no good. What I was waiting to see, like, well, Mel Allen used that back in the 19th.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're looking for a name, right?
Yeah. All right. I'm going to have to get back to you on that, Craig. Good question. I do not have the answer to that, but I have used it several times. Let's see. If people were on base, walk Condon. I have a feeling Condon's going to draw a few walks. This weekend in that series, 33 home runs and counting for Condon is just ridiculous, says Harrison. Very, very much so. Analytics are ruining the game by Bruin. Yeah, I mean, look, it's your job as a coach. It's just like as an announcer. I get, before I call a game, 50 pages of stats and whatnot, and I hear announcers like just regurgitating crap, and I'm like, that's not a worthwhile stat. That's minutia. It's up to you to discern for the person listening or watching what is a relevant stat and what is not. Well, as a coach, if you get all this analytical data, there's some of it that's relevant that you can use and implement, and some you have to just cast aside and go, no, that's not what we need to do as coach. I think some coaches struggle with that. Some just rely so heavily on analytics, and I think it bites them in the rear end. We see it in baseball. We see it in basketball. We see it in football.
They get comfortable with the probability being greater to do it this way than that way when, you know, sometimes there's just a flow of the game and gut feel to some of this that I think is going to get lost in a lot of the analytics discussions.
I'm with you on that. Clint, who's your favorite comedian, Mike? I'm a Dangerfield guy myself. Well, when he was alive, he was outstanding. I just saw Bill Burr in concert a few months ago. I think he's the hottest guy going. Fearless, timing, energy, always has new material. Like, there's a lot of comedians that could come up with one great set. It's like a band that comes up with one great album, and then they suck for the rest of time. I'm talking to you, Bon Jovi. No. Seriously, after Slippery When Wet, was there anything worthwhile?
It was all downhill. No, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Come on. I know I'm going to offend some guy from Jersey. Hey, what are you talking about? Bon Jovi's still bringing it. Nah, whatever.
No.
After Living on a Prayer.
There wasn't anything in striking distance after that, you know?
Yeah. It's pretty much crap. Oh, Quantrill, Mike, who do you pick? Kendrick Lamar or Drake? Yeah, apparently that's another there's some friction there. I saw the Diddy documentary. Whew. Not a good look.
A lot of weird stuff going around.
I'm more of a Drake guy, Quantrill. I think Drake. Drake had. There was a couple of years there where, I mean, every song he had was a mega hit, and he's just smooth. I like my rappers smooth. I like hip hop when I can actually understand the lyrics, and like it was creative. Yeah, I'm going Drake on that. So whatever the beef is, I'm taking Drake's side. Kendrick, you don't want to mess with me when I'm partnering up with Drake.
I love it.
You don't want that smoke.
I got Kendrick on this one. Here we go. Yeah, argumentative radio. Yeah, that's right. No, Kendrick Lamar all the way.
Yeah. Coming up next on First Take, Mike and the Mad Dog debate.
Right. Yeah.
I always pronounce this guy's name wrong. Nate Bargatze. He is really good. He was great on SNL when he hosted.
Oh, I know him. Check that out.
Oh, you know him. You've seen him. He's very clean, really? Okay. But he's red hot right now on camp. You've seen him, I promise you. Sonder, you have a favorite Bond movie or character? I never really got into the Bond thing, Sonder. So for me, that's neither a fiver or a dimer. I grew up on Roger Moore. I was too young for Sean Connery. I thought Roger Moore was a cool damn dude. And then after who was it that replaced him? I never got into it.
Timothy Dalton was
the next never saw
one.
A single
then,
one.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan, which I did see GoldenEye, but I didn't see any of the subsequent ones. And confession time, I have not seen any of the new Bonds with, what's his name, Daniel something in it?
Daniel Craig?
Isn't he the new James Bond?
I think so. Yeah. But yeah, I have no – those movies just don't do anything for me. Or the Oceans 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, they don't do anything for me.
Never seen any of the Oceans movies or Fast and Furious. Those are the franchises
I never saw one.
Stayed away from. And at this point, I'm like, I'm not, you know, now you got 10 of them now to go back and watch, and you're not going to catch me with that.
That's right. That's right. Big Wash says Kendrick putting a lyrical beat down on Drake. Yeah, I mean, that's not Drake's thing. He's not going to.
You know,
looking for a rap battle. He's just looking for good music.
And even then, it's low-hanging fruit after the whole Pusha T, you know, just eviscerated Drake. I mean, it's not fun anymore to get at Drake. It's just, it's, you know, I mean, it's like kicking a two-year-old. It's just too damn
That's
easy.
Right. Too damn easy. Oh, man. Not easy for us to get out of here. I enjoyed that. That's a little Gamecock graffiti. We'll start doing more of that, and eventually we'll even take calls, messages, and play some of those back and comment on those. But, again, we're going to cut it short today. Tomorrow, JC will be back. I'll be back. And Jamie will be back on Wednesday. What's the guest line looking like tomorrow?
What we got tomorrow? Hale McGranahan will be in, and we've got Perry Orff tomorrow, I believe, Perry. In the second hour. So we're gonna get some thoughts. First time since I think probably the football season ended, because Perry's doing a lot of daddy duty here with newborn. But happy to welcome him back.
Okay,
get some thoughts on the football program coming out of spring.
I like it. I'm all about it. Appreciate everybody tuning in today. The Power Hour presented by Gary Patterson and Ryan Brewer Fence. For everybody out there in ITG land, we love you. We appreciate you, and we love giving it to you 5 days a week. We'll be back with you tomorrow for the full 3 hours. Until then, for the Mad Dog, Phil Molinax, I am Mike Morgan. We'll see you next time on ITG.